Welcome to Oncology Buddies, your platform for cancer care. Oncology Buddies informs and inspires all those who have or are affected by cancer.
Diabetes and Cancer by Dr. Angela Murphy. This episode is brought to you by LifeGain All-in-One Advanced Nutritional Supplement in the interest of education, awareness, and support. LifeGain Advanced Nutritional Supplement is scientifically formulated to offer beyond everyday nutrition that can support chronic illness. Visit lifegain.co.za for more information. Dr. Angela Murphy looks at the correlation between diabetes and cancer. A diagnosis of either diabetes or cancer causes significant stress. There is no doubt that if both conditions are present, this causes true distress. Although cancer isn't a typical complication of diabetes, there is an increase in the occurrence of cancer in people living with diabetes, or PLWD. In 2009, the American Diabetes Association and the American Cancer Society developed a consensus document to look at the following questions. 1. Is there an association between diabetes and cancer? 2. What are the biologic links between diabetes and cancer risk? 3. What risk factors are common to both diabetes and cancer? And 4. Do diabetes treatments influence risk of cancer? What is the association between diabetes and cancer? We see an increasing incidence of both diabetes and cancer. It seems that the diagnosis of both conditions in the same person occurs more frequently than would be expected by chance. Some cancers, like liver, pancreatic, and endometrium, occur more commonly in the presence of diabetes, and some cancers, like prostate, are less common in the presence of diabetes. Other cancers, lung, kidney, non-Hodgkin lymphoma, haven't been conclusively shown to have an association with diabetes. Currently, the association of cancer and type 1 diabetes is not confirmed. In addition to seeing an increase in the incidence of cancer in PLWD, it seems that diabetes increases the risk of complications and mortality from cancer. What biological association is there between diabetes and cancer? 1. Hyperglycemia. In the 1920s, scientist Otto Warburg observed that cancer cells consume large amounts of glucose as they rapidly divide and proliferate. This is now called the Warburg effect. 2. Hyperinsulinemia and insulin resistance. Certain cancers possess insulin receptors, and stimulation of these by high levels of circulating insulin can directly affect the metabolism of cancer cells, promoting their growth. Insulin also stimulates insulin-like growth factor 1, or IGF-1, which promotes cancer cell growth and inhibits cancer cell death. Insulin increases the levels of estrogen that the body is exposed to, which in turn increases the risk of certain cancers, such as breast cancer. 3. Inflammation. Many pro-inflammatory substances, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor alpha, etc., can induce malignant changes in cells and cancer progression. Both hyperglycemia and hyperinsulinemia cause oxidative stress, which in turn causes inflammation. The most common cause of chronic, low-grade inflammation is obesity. What are common risk factors between diabetes and cancer? 1. Obesity. Most people living with type 2 diabetes are overweight or obese. As mentioned, obesity is a state of low-grade inflammation. The longer overweight or obesity is present, the greater the risk of developing cancer. The Center for Disease Control, or CDC, in America, lists 13 cancers more commonly seen in people living with obesity: esophageal, breast in postmenopausal women, colon and rectum, uterus, liver, stomach, kidneys, gallbladder, ovaries, pancreatic, thyroid, multiple myeloma, and meningioma, a type of brain cancer. 2. Age. The incidence of most cancers increases with age, with an estimated 78% of all newly diagnosed cancer occurring in people over the age of 55 years. 3. Gender. In general, men are slightly more at risk of developing cancer than women, and in turn have a higher incidence of type 2 diabetes. 4. Ethnicity. Statistics show that in the United States, African Americans develop and die from cancer more than other racial groups. This may be due to a variety of factors, such as socioeconomic status, as well as genetic factors. 5. Smoking. Tobacco smoking causes over 70% of all respiratory cancers and is a strong risk factor in many other cancers. In addition, studies suggest that smoking is an independent risk factor for developing type 2 diabetes, and we know smoking will always worsen the complications of diabetes. 6. Alcohol. Even if alcohol is consumed moderately, it's associated with an increased risk of cancers such as mouth, throat, gastrointestinal, and breast. Moderate alcohol consumption may be protective against the development of diabetes, but excess alcohol is a diabetes risk. 7. Sedentary lifestyle. There is a definite link between lack of physical activity and the risk of type 2 diabetes and cancer. Do diabetes treatments influence the incidence of cancer and cancer prognosis? Good glucose control lowers the risk of complications and possibly cancer too. The influence of the various drug treatments are as follows. 1. Metformin. At diagnosis, all people with type 2 diabetes are prescribed metformin, and this is continued lifelong unless it can't be tolerated or kidney function drops below a certain threshold. Metformin reduces circulating levels of glucose and insulin by reducing the production of glucose in the liver. Studies have shown that metformin inhibits the growth and proliferation of cancer cell lines. Other research has demonstrated that metformin can selectively kill certain cancer stem cells, improving the effectiveness of the anti-cancer regimen. This has been particularly described in breast cancer. There is significant evidence to show that PLWD who are on metformin are less likely to get cancer than PLWD who don't take metformin. Additional observational data also suggests that PLWD taking metformin who do develop cancer are more likely to go into remission. Metformin is sometimes used as an adjuvant treatment in a cancer regimen even in people without diabetes, particularly with breast cancer therapy. 2. Thiazolidine diones. These are medications that work in the liver to treat insulin resistance. Pioglitazone is the only one available in South Africa. Results of studies are conflicting whether these drugs decrease, increase, or do not affect cancer risk. 3. Sulfonylureas. There is very little data to suggest any benefit or risk in this group of medications. 4. Incretins. These are the injectable liraglutide, semaglutide, and dulaglutide. They bind to the glucagon-like peptide 1, or GLP-1, receptor, which results in lower glucose levels and weight loss. Liraglutide showed an increased risk of medullary thyroid cancer in rats. The risk of this cancer remains a black box warning. A study published in the British Medical Journal in April 2024 calculated that there was very little increase in risk for thyroid cancer in patients using GLP-1 receptor agonists. They report this would be 0.36 excess cancers per 10,000 person years, which compares favorably to a background incidence of cancer in diabetes of 1.46 per 10,000 person years. However, if there is a history of thyroid cancer or a family history of thyroid cancer, the PLWD may still be advised not to use this therapy. 5. Insulin. As mentioned above, we know that high levels of insulin can be implicated in causing cancer. Naturally, PLWD, who must inject insulin to treat their diabetes, will be concerned. To date, there is no definite proof that insulin as a therapy causes cancer. However, people living with type 2 diabetes who are using insulin will often have other risks as well. Longer duration of diabetes with insulin resistance, obesity, and older age. One study also indicated a greater risk of developing cancer with higher doses of insulin. It's critical to acknowledge that cancer cells in a person living with type 2 diabetes may have spent years being exposed to abnormally high endogenous insulin due to insulin resistance. Thus, it's difficult to blame the newly injected exogenous insulin to be the cause of any cancer. How to lower cancer risk if you have diabetes? The most common cancers associated with type 2 diabetes are breast, colon, and prostate. However, as noted previously, if the PLWD also has an increased body weight, there are many more cancers associated with obesity. Two main strategies are important: prevention and screening. Prevention. There is always benefit in trying to improve the modifiable factors of lifestyle. Weight. Keeping body weight to normal or near normal is protective. This will lower insulin resistance while improving glucose control. In addition, weight loss has been shown to decrease cancer risk. Diet. Adopting a diet that supports weight management is essential. There is also value in choosing foods that lower inflammation and have fewer direct carcinogens. The World Health Organization recommends avoiding processed meat as much as possible. Processed meats like ham, bacon, pastrami, hot dogs, and sandwich meat are prepared by smoking, curing, salting, or adding chemicals. Red meat should be restricted to 500 grams weekly. In fact, a plant-based diet is less inflammatory and lowers cancer risk. Physical activity. Recommended activity is 150 minutes weekly, ideally spread out over 5 days. This can be aerobic and resistance exercise. Stop smoking. The connection between smoking and cancer has been established since 1963. Stop smoking. Reduce alcohol. A woman can have 1 to 2 units daily and a man 2 to 3 units daily. 1 unit of alcohol is a 340 milliliter beer or cider, 120 milliliters of wine, and 25 milliliters of spirits. Screening. The following recommendations are for the general population, but if you are at higher risk for certain cancer, family history, radiation exposure, etc., then please chat to your doctor about your screening schedule. Breast cancer screening. Start at age 40 with mammograms and generally every 2 years thereafter, unless at higher risk. Monthly self-examination is also important. Cervical. Screening starts at 25. A pap smear can be done every 3 years, but the newer human papillomavirus, or HPV, screening can be done every 5 years. Prostate. Age 40 is the recommended screening age in black men and 45 years in other races with an annual PSA blood test. Any abnormality or change in this would prompt further testing by a urologist. Colon. Age 45 years with stool occult blood tests or colonoscopy. Skin. Be aware of changes in your own skin. An annual check with your doctor or dermatologist is valuable. Lung. In smokers aged 55 to 80 years, and this is even for ex-smokers, consider having a chest CT annually. Closing remarks. There is a link between diabetes and cancer. However, scientists from Mount Sinai in the USA, who looked at diabetes and pancreatic cancer, are still not clear about what comes first, the cancer or the diabetes. What we do know is that high blood glucose will increase cancer cell metabolism and growth, so good glucose control is essential. We also know that certain medications are protective, especially metformin. With a healthy lifestyle and avoidance of other risk factors, as well as regular cancer screenings, it should be possible for persons living with diabetes to lower the risk of a cancer diagnosis.